This morning, we are focusing on, from what I can tell, the reason that we are here. This morning, it is the decision of the leadership of Highland Hills to highlight the purpose of our being here. So this morning is going to be about communion. The songs are very specific. They are about the blood and the body, the death and the life of Christ. But before we get into our communion with the body and the blood of Christ, there is an exercise that we do out of necessity. And there is an exercise that we do out of love. Now, both of those reasons for doing this portion of our assembly are very important. The fact of the matter is that the ministry here at Highland Hills is dependent on the generosity of its members and those who would visit and worship with us. The physical ministry is dependent on your generosity. But it doesn't stop there. Your relationship with God is dependent on your generosity. Let me explain. In no way would I ever want anyone to think that you can in any way buy a relationship with God or buy your way to heaven or give enough to be in good standing with God. That's not at all the case. Our standing with God is predicated on the death of Jesus and nothing else. But as Ward so eloquently put it this morning in his call to worship, we live in a broken world. And as individuals, we are broken. And we struggle with all kinds of sin, some that are obvious and some that are so ingrained in our nature and hidden and behind the scenes that we don't even know that we're struggling with them, but we are. There are a lot of sins that are very public, and we could go down the list of them and we could feel good about the ones that we do not commit. And a lot of times the church is very confident in preaching against all of those high profile, quote unquote, sins that get a lot of press and a lot of political play and all of those things. And we feel good about preaching against those because most of us aren't dealing with those. Let's just be honest. But there's a sin that separates us from God. It's in all the lists of the biggies. And that sin is greed. Greed separates us from God as quickly as any fallenness that haunts us. And the Bible says we have one antidote, one exercise, one discipline that we can do that combats greed on our behalf. That antidote is generosity. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. The Bible tells us that if we would hang on to the mammon of this world, then we are unable to reach out to the God of heaven and earth. So this morning, as a practice, as a discipline, we have the opportunity to give. Now, the giving of our money, the giving of a portion of our income, in no way changes our standing with God. We don't buy our way into anything. But our giving does do something very important. One thing it does is it supports the very real and very physical ministry that happens right here at 720 Kings Lane. It supports the very real and very physical ministry that is happening a half a world away in Central America and Honduras. Not only does our giving help support this, but it helps support countless of people across Tullahoma, Coffee County, Franklin County, Bedford County, those who know of Highland Hills as an island of benevolence. And so we help them the best that we can, when we can. But if we're not generous, that doesn't happen. But more importantly, if we're not generous, Satan, who is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, has a foothold, and it's called greed. And it has the power to separate us from God. I'm under no delusions that anything I say this morning is going to make someone take more out of their wallet or tear up a check and write a bigger one. That's not the point. What I'm trying to do is explain this is the reason we do this. Not because God has given us so much and we want to show Him how much we love Him. It's because we want to have a relationship with God. And we want to combat all of the forces that are against us. Greed being a chief force. And generosity being its only antidote. Before the guys pass the collection plates around, and before we give to support the ministry, and before we give to exercise the discipline of generosity, would you bow with me as we pray? Father, I thank You so much for today. Father, I thank You for the blessings that You have given us, the spiritual well-being that we all share in Christ. Father, I thank You for the physical well-being that we all experience for a number of reasons. The fact that we live in this country, that we are privileged to be in an economy that supports a lifestyle that is so comfortable compared to so many across this world. Father, I pray that we would not become so comfortable that we would depend on our financial or social stations in life, but that we would depend on You. Father, I pray that we would exercise the discipline of generosity this morning. I pray that there would be a seed planted in the hearts of some who do not exercise that discipline, and that they would investigate how to start that. Father, I pray that You would open up the hearts of each one of us this morning. That You would cause us to offer what we have for You to do what You will. Father, I have heard from the pulpit and in prayers for You to empower us to give until it hurts. Father, I pray that we would give until it feels good. That we would give until it feels right. Until greed has no grip on our hearts, where we value You more than anything. Father, I pray that our security does not come from the hills. I pray that our security does not come from the government or any other institution on this earth, but that our security would come from You. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name that I pray. Amen. As I said earlier, from what I can tell from studying Scripture. There was a reason that first century Christians assembled together. There was a reason that they made a point to be available to one another. Paul tells us it was on the first day of the week, which we interpret as Sunday, and we're pretty sure that that's an accurate interpretation. He never comes right out and says, hey, on Sunday do this, but on the first day of the week we did this, and so that's why we're here on this day, and that's why we partake of communion, because that's what they did. You see, it's really important for us to understand why we're doing what we do. It isn't just an arbitrary task or some kind of a thing that we think is neat. It's what they did. And the they that we're talking about is the first century Christians. And why are they so important? Because they're not even a generation removed from Jesus. I mean, think about that for just a moment. To be that close to Jesus. I don't know about you, but I've met a couple of pretty famous people in my life. And regardless of what you think of this famous person or that famous person, I'm going to share with you an experience that I had. I had this with Ward and Denning. Right after we moved here, Ward and Denning and Wade invited me to go with them to Augusta, Georgia, for a practice round of the Masters. And I'm a fan of golf, and there's some pretty famous people that play golf. And one of them, Tiger Woods, again, regardless of what you think of him, as Ward said, we're all broken in a broken world. But I've been pretty impressed by this guy and his golfing ability. If you know anything about golf, what he's accomplished in golf is second to few. And I remember going to Augusta with them and walking around and just being in awe of the surroundings. And then we were walking along and Tiger Woods' group was coming through and he was hitting. And I got about as close to me and Earl Price there from him. And I was kind of in awe. Because here's this guy I've seen on TV and I've seen what he does with a golf club and I've seen all this stuff. And this was way before all of the craziness happened in his life. And I remember seeing him there and it was just this very surreal moment. And I've met other people, whether it would be movie stars or I was in an airport and Kevin Costner was walking by. And I remember, oh my goodness, that's Kevin Costner. Field of Dreams. It's Wyatt Earp. It was surreal. Have you ever had that kind of a moment where you meet somebody? Maybe you were at an event, a political event, and there was some famous senator or even the president. Maybe you were somewhere and you met the president or you were close enough to where you were in the same room and you could see them. And there they were and they passed by. Or maybe it's somebody that you knew or related to that knew or was somewhere where there was a really famous historical figure. Well, beyond that, think of the people. After the life and the death of Christ, I mean, the people who saw, who were at the foot of the cross, the apostles who were there, who saw Jesus lifted up and hands nailed, feet pinned to that cross, and they saw the blood, and they saw the death, and they heard the words, woman, behold your son. They heard all, they saw the earthquakes and the rocks breaking and the darkness and the soldiers falling and worshiping and saying, surely this was a righteous man. They saw that and then they told other people about it. Later on in that century. So what they did was they passed on what the Bible says that Jesus passed on to us in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. When it says on the night that He was betrayed, Jesus said, This is my body, and it's broken for you. And this is my blood. And as often as you partake of it, I want you to remember me. And they told people about that night. They said, this is what he did, and this is what he said, and this is and so you know what they did? They met together to partake of this very thing. It was so important that on one occasion Paul was on his way on a missionary journey, and he said, you know, I stuck around for a couple extra days because I wanted to be there for Sunday when we all would commune around the table and we would partake in this communion because it reminds us of Jesus and everything about Him. And this morning, we want to focus on one of our practices. It dates back all the way to that first century. And some people partake of this communion because they think we're commanded to do it. I can't believe that that is the reason that we do this. That's the reason that God would give us such an important, mysterious gift. Just to make sure that we know how to follow rules. We take part in this communion as a way of connecting both physically and spiritually with believers all across the world this morning. This is happening. And not only believers across the world, but we connect physically and spiritually with that great cloud of witnesses that we are told about in Scripture that span generations of time. We take part in this as a way of connecting both physically and spiritually with Jesus Himself. As important as celebrities or as awe-inspiring as political figures might be. By faith, Jesus is here this morning. Son of God. The Word. The physical embodiment, the expression of love of our Creator God is physically in the room. Bible tells us that Jesus was slain from the foundations of the world. Isaiah 52 and 14 tells us that His body, His physical body, was beaten beyond recognition. Isaiah 53 and 5 says that He was broken for our iniquities. That Jesus was bruised for our transgressions. Jesus says of Himself that while He is here, He is our good shepherd, and He knows each of His sheep by name. And the shepherd lays down his life for a sheep. He says of Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the light. I am the gate through which you access the Father. He says, I am the bread of life. This morning we have the privilege of partaking in that very bread. A bread unlike any other bread that we will ever experience. It isn't what it's made of. It isn't how it's prepared. It isn't so much that it has this in it or it has this left out. What makes this bread special is that it's the body of Christ. Broken. For no other reason but our iniquity. It's the body of Christ that was bruised. Not like our bodies are bruised on accident or out of foolish carelessness. But it was bruised for our transgressions. This morning, we're going to do something that's very important. Not only are we going to take this bread together, but we're going to witness to one another as we do so. Jesus says, this is my body, and it's broken for you. The Bible tells us over and over again how important confession is. And in Romans, it tells us that it's belief with the heart and confession, confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and we are saved. It says, if anybody is in sin, confess your sin one to another so that you can be healed, you can be saved. Jesus is called the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There is something spiritual about that spoken Word. And this morning, we're going to witness to one another. I'm going to have Dan come forward. He's going to lead us in a prayer this morning over the body of Christ, over this bread that we are going to partake of. And as the men come forward to take this bread, Dan's going to tell each one of them that this is the body of Christ broken for you. Because so often as we meet together and it becomes a tradition or it becomes just an activity that we do, I believe that so often we forget that we're not just holding bread prepared in a special way and served in a beautiful tray. We are coming spiritually and physically in contact. As He hands that bread to each man serving as a shepherd of this congregation, as a spiritual. And here's another thing, I want us to understand. As a spiritual descendant of Jesus, our shepherd is going to remind us it's the body of Christ broken for you. And as each one of those men are delegated with this witness, with this confession, and they hand that tray to each person, they in turn will witness to you, this is the body of Christ broken for you. My prayer, my plea is that as you partake of that, and you take it and you hand it to the next person, please witness to them. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Lest anyone forget. Might get a little noisy in here. I can't think of anything more beautiful, any song more poetic than 100 voices proclaiming the body of Christ broken for us. Dan? After they took the bread, Jesus took the cup, saying, this is the blood, this is my blood of a new covenant, It's a covenant for you. I have to be very honest. As I sat there this morning, and as Bob looked at me and told me that this is the body of Christ broken, I had this overwhelming feeling of, I am so unworthy of this. As I listened to my brothers and sisters in Christ telling each other, this is the body of Christ, I couldn't help but think that the love of our God is greater than anything I have ever imagined. When Isaiah was standing in the presence of God, his thought was, I'm unclean. I'm undone. I am a man of unclean lips among a people. Unclean lips. I've never felt so much like that. Than in a room full of people confessing that it is Christ's body. It's broken for us. And not only was there the body, but there was the blood. The blood that provides forgiveness for our sin. The law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. It's the blood that gives us life. Jesus said that in John chapter 6 and 53, most assuredly, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, unless you drink His blood, you have no life in you. It's the blood of Christ that brings us close to God. In Ephesians 2 and 13, Christ tells us, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. It's not our goodness. It's not even our desire. Because nobody wants to be close to God outside of the cleansing touch of the blood of Christ. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your consciousness from dead works to serve the living God? Hebrews 9 and 14. Therefore, brethren, having the boldness to enter the holiest place. How? The blood of Christ. Therefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people by His own blood, suffered and died. Hebrews 13 and 12. He Himself bore our sin in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. It's by His wounds that we have been healed. And this blood is represented in this juice that He instituted so many years ago. This blood enables us to overcome the devil and his works. In Revelations 12 and 11 tells us, they overcame the evil one by the blood of the Lamb. By the word of His testimony. By the word of His testimony. That same testimony we have the privilege of joining in this morning. Not only are we continually cleansed of our sin, John tells us in his epistle that it is the blood of Christ that continually cleanses us. That if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have continual cleansing. The wording there in the Greek is that it's an ongoing, it's a in the present ongoing action. It's continually cleansing us. Because of the blood of Christ, we don't have to fear the presence of God. Blood is so important to God that it's mentioned in the Bible over 700 times. We're told in Leviticus that the life of the blood, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Our spiritual life resides solely in the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. This morning, as we have the opportunity, as we do every Sunday, to share in this life-giving blood of the Savior of all of mankind, we get to share in the testimony of the Word that not only are we saved in a relationship with God that is brought near, that we are brought near to Him through the blood of Christ, but we can share in the testimony that this is the blood of Christ that continually cleanses us of our sin. You ever think when you were a kid going to church that if I did something wrong, I better hurry up and pray and ask for forgiveness before something happens to me, so that I can go to heaven when I die? Because of the blood of Christ, that's a heresy. The blood of Christ continually cleanses us of our sin. You know, the road to heaven is not paved in gold. For that would be far too cheap. But our path to heaven is paved the precious blood, the precious, incorruptible blood, the Lamb of God slain, the foundation of the world. And this morning, as Al comes forward to lead us in a prayer, prayer of many things, of thanksgiving, of praise, of all of that over this cup that represents the blood of Christ. And He will remind us that this is the blood of Jesus, the blood of Christ, that continually cleanses us of our sin. And we get to join one another in that testimony. The testimony of that Word. That it is He who cleanses us. It's He who brings us near to God. It's the blood of Christ that continually cleanses our sins. Al? I don't know if anybody else is like me and you watch the Powerball jackpots. Recently it was $450 million. Ward, if you won $450 million... and you went home to tell Janice, we won $450 million. I imagine you'd walk in the house and you'd be like, hey Janice, just wanted to tell you, we won $450 million today. What's for dinner? Hunter, if you won $450 million, not only would you not go to work the next morning, but you would come in the house and you would probably open the door and be like, Jamie, guess what? We won the lottery. See how I was proactive about that right there? Guys, we've done more than win the lottery. It's time for us not to walk around with sour faces saying, Jesus died for me. It's time for us to stand with that boldness and our faces towards the Father who loves us and say with all the celebration within us, Jesus died for me because He lives again and I will live as well. We're going to stand and we're going to sing, Our God, He is Alive. Hayden's going to lead us. But I want you to do something with me as another exercise. If you would please stand with me. And with a smile on your face, I want you to turn to your neighbor and touch him and tell him, Jesus died for you. Now I want you to, with clenched fists like you just won the lottery, say, I am saved. The body of Christ was broken for me. His blood continually cleanses me of my sin. Hayden, lead us out of here.